This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Marriage is sacred. That's why there's order in a marriage, because we serve a God of order. Christ set the example. How can a wife be sanctified and cleansed, presented as a glorious church, holy and without spot or blemish, if she lives in terror? There's a difference. And if that's the case, if that's you, the Holy Spirit's convicting you, the Word of God's convicting you, you know, tone it down. Take a walk. Love your wife. Don't let her fear you. Let her love you.
As Pastor Eddie continues his teaching series through the book of 1 Peter, he'll be explaining God's design for marriage and how important submission is in the home. Submission should be a natural response to loving leadership. When a husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church, then submission is a natural response from a wife to her husband. But regardless of the husband's love or lack thereof, the wife is commanded to submit as to the Lord. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. As he continues his message, Submission in the Home.
Sadly, there are wives that have an unhealthy fear of their husband. There's a good fear of respect, but not an unhealthy fear. And I see this in a lot of marriages. As a matter of fact, I've seen this with my parents. My mother had an unhealthy fear of my father. And my father was abusive. And I've witnessed this. And I'm not disrespectful. I honored my father to his death. But one thing, my mother was walking not only an eggshell, she feared every time he came through the door from work. That is not what I wanted. And I observed it, and I said, I'm not going to have that with my wife. That's not going to happen in my house. I want my wife to be free. I don't want her to be in terror, walking in eggshells because I'm in the house. That's her house. Because you know what? That's not how Christ treats the church. Christ, right? He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. How much does Christ love the church? Does he beat the church? Absolutely not. He loves the church. Never treat the church, the bride, as a beautiful queen, precious. And it's sad. It's sad. It should not be. There are abusive husbands where they're always angry and everybody in the house got to jump. I never wanted that in my house. It wasn't comfortable being raised that way. That's not good. That's not godly. That is not Christ-like. As a matter of fact, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. Paul writes this, husbands, love your wife. This is that verse, by the way, because we look at this passage, you know, verses 1 through 7, and you're probably saying, the ladies are probably saying, wait a minute, there's 6 verses for us and only 1 for the men. Oh, wait till we get to that. But when you get to Ephesians, there are 2 verses for women, 9 verses for men. This is a part of it. Okay, this is a part of it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 27, this is what Paul writes. He said, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's how Christ treated the church. That's why marriage is sacred. That's why there's order in a marriage, because we serve a God of order. Christ set the example. How can a wife be sanctified and cleansed, presented as a glorious church, holy and without spot or blemish, if she lives in terror? There's a difference. And if that's the case, if that's you, the Holy Spirit's convicting you, the Word of God's convicting you, you know, tone it down. Take a walk. Love your wife. Don't let her fear you. Let her love you. Love your wives. Husband, set the example. And so, wives, submit to your husbands. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. No one's perfect. But, you know, we submit to the word of God. Listen to what God says. Listen, forget about what this is the generation. No, forget about it. Because, listen, we haven't got it figured out. Let me tell you. You know, they have all these marriage counselors. And it's amazing. These marriage counselors who get a degree, they've been divorced several times themselves. So, okay, you're going to tell me how you messed up twice? And the reason is, it's based on man's philosophy and theology and wisdom, but it's not God's wisdom. Just stick to God's wisdom. It never fades. God knows better. He created us. He knows. And so we stick to the word of God. Ladies, honor the Lord. Be precious in the sight of God. Submit to the God. Love your husband. Submit to them. You know, if as long as what your husband tells you to do is not illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, you submit to him. Everything else, he's going to have to answer to the Lord, because he's going to have to answer to the Lord. He's the head of household. He's left holding the bag, if you say. He's going to be in trouble with the Lord. Let him. Leave that to him. You be submissive. Say, honey, I don't think we should do that. Because sometimes my wife would tell me, I don't think you should do that. And, you know, the Lord uses her. Oh, I know what I'm doing, woman. And then I find out that I shouldn't have done that. I should have listened to my wife. Let me tell you, when God created Adam and Eve from the very beginning, he created Eve out of the rib, not out of the toe where he's over her, not out of his head where she's above him. He created out of the rib, okay? And he said, I will make him a helper, comparator. And that word helper in the Hebrew is the same helper in the Greek, parakletos, as the Holy Spirit. Helper, helper. You need each other. You're different. You're wired different. And the two of you make one. That's why Jesus said, shall be one flesh. Don't throw away what the Bible's telling you about marriage. Don't. Follow it to the T and you'll have a healthy marriage. It will not be perfect, but it will be perfect before God and it will be better off. Listen, take it from me. 36 years of marriage. Never had a fight. Not just kidding. 36 years of marriage. And I'm going to tell you, God, by God's grace, I had godly people that poured into my life. And I messed up. And let me tell you, there were times when I was almost like my father in the beginning of my marriage. And I'm going to be transparent with you. And that's how I was. Very young. And I realized I was almost coming like, and I was convicted early in my marriage. I said, I'm not going to be like that. And so let me tell you, follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. And so verses 1-6, wives, submit to your husband. Guys, it's your turn. In the same way as I'm referring to wives as those who are legally married and married before God, the same thing for men. If you're living with the woman, you're not a husband, okay? According to scripture, you're not. Just listen, do what's right. Do it right. You've gone this far. I mean, come on, really? And they say it's a piece of paper. If it's just a piece of paper, why don't you just take the piece of paper? A man is afraid of a piece of paper? Okay. Anyway, it's our turn. Again, we look at six verses. It's one verse. Why is it one verse at this passage? Well, I could tell you why it's only one verse, because men only use the left side of their brain. And it's true. We do, and I admit to that. But, you know, at the same time, we just want the facts. We just want facts. We don't want the weather report. You know, we don't want to know what happened last week when I want to know what happened yesterday. You know, I don't want the history. That's how it is. And let me tell you, I was convicted years ago. You know, Judy was telling me this thing, and I said, okay, I would do this with my hand. Yeah, yes. Forgive me. But that was a long time ago. Long, long. Judy will tell you. You have my permission to ask her. But don't ask all at once, okay? But I would do this. Meaning, come on, babe, give me the facts. I don't wanna know what happened in 1968. Just tell me right now. You know, I just wanna know what's the temperature. I don't wanna say, okay, wind is coming from the north and there's a warm climate here tomorrow. No, give me the facts. We're just facts. That's who we are. That's how we're wired. But I've learned not to do that. I've learned, you know, and she didn't get upset. She didn't get upset at all. I just knew it was bothering her. And I stopped. But I'm going to tell you something. It helped me in two ways. It helped my marriage, number one. But number two, I learned patience. It was therapy for me. It was therapy. Now, here he's going to talk to men, okay? But there's a lot of things that men are going to have to do, because this is what Peter does. He gets to the point. He doesn't give them a whole example, illustrations. He's going to tell you to do three things. Three things. And there are a lot of three things, but it's also going to end. He's going to end it off with a warning. Women, you didn't get a warning for the past six verses. But here, let's look at verse 7. He says, husbands, likewise. In the same way, he said, wives, likewise. Likewise, in what's that? In the context of speaking of this area of submission. So husbands are to submit in like manner. Okay, submit like we did with the government, chapter 2, verse 13, to the employees, chapter 2, verse 18. And as wives submit to husband, verse 3 to 1, however, the submission is different. It is not changing the roles. But the husband are to be submissive in the area of serving their wives, giving full attention to their wives. Amen? A shout, a hallelujah, something. Here it is. Now, they're just to be submitted to three things. Again, guys just want facts. You're going to get the facts, but it's not going to be that easy, okay? Okay, husbands likewise, number one, as they are to submit in the area of serving their wives. Number one, in verse 7, the husband likewise dwell with them. Dwell with them. What does that mean? That means spending time with them. That means getting together close with them, being in a relationship with them. Okay, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, be at home. No more hanging with the guys. Sorry, that's not what the Bible tells me. Okay, it's not okay. You get married and the honeymoon is over, and then where? After work, you go to the bar, you go to the club, you go hang out. In the weekends, you go hunting, you go shooting, whatever it is. And now you have all these activities, you're golfing, and you're doing all these things, you're working on your car, you know, whatever it is, you know, you need to spend time with your wife. Spend time with your wife. It means being with her physically. She should be your best friend. Let me tell you something. There is no one closer to me than my wife. I'm not being corny. I'm being real here. Because, you know, when I go home, I don't have that much problems. Because it took 36 years of getting to this thick skull of how to treat my wife. Not the way I was raised. Not the way the world tells me. But the way the Bible tells me. Take some time. And you know what that means, guys? And you may, some of you may hate me for this. But it means even if your wife wants to watch the Hallmark Channel, you got to watch the Hallmark Channel. And let me tell you, I painfully did it twice. I just, you know, I have a hate for the Hallmark Channel because every channel, we have these streaming apps, and every Christmas, I say, okay, Christmas, yay! Yeah. Hallmark, yay! Hallmark messed up Christmas movies and TV. And you know, what I hate about it is because we already know what's going to happen. The first 2 minutes, I know who's going to end up together. And these people in the don't exist. Where do they come from? They're weird. There's no way. That doesn't happen. So listen, dwell with them, okay? I've watched two painfully, I don't know within how many years, I think 2 years. All right, I need work. But if she wants to watch it, okay, as long as it's clean, okay? So stay with them. And you know, the more you're with them, the more you love them. And the more you're covering them spiritually as well. Ephesians chapter 5, again, verse 25 and 26. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. And what does that mean? When you spend time with her, you also now are doing what you're supposed to do, is feed her the word of God. That's the way it was in ancient culture during the ancient times when the Bible was written. All they did was study. They didn't have TV. They didn't have magazines. They didn't have a bookstore. They studied the Torah. They studied the Bible. That was their world. That's what made them smart. They started reading and they had debates. They had discussions, the men. They didn't even allow the women. And so they knew the word, and they were to teach their wives the word of God. And that's what you used to do. And sadly, there are women, wives, that is, that know about the word of God more than the husbands. Study the word of God. Show yourself approved. Listen, husbands, three P's, I always say this. Priest, provider, protector. And I say that all the time. My son-in-law, before he asked for to be my daughter's husband, I said, it's three P's, dude. Three P's. Priest, provider, protector. You're a priest in the home, spiritual home. Provider, you need to make sure you have a job. Good thing he does. And he loves the Lord. And protector, you protect her with your life. You protect her with your life. Three P's. Priest, provider, protector. That's a godly man. And that's what we're to be. So number one, submission in the area of dwelling with her. Let's look at the second one, verse 7 again. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with Understanding. Understanding, what does that mean? Well, if you were to ask a wife of all the things her husband enjoys and likes, she will answer you right away and she'll answer them all correctly. Because women are like that. Men, not so much. You ask a husband, what does your wife like? Oh, she likes, no, no, no. And you just mess up. But women knows. Why do you think, like even days like before Christmas, Christmas Eve, the shopping mall and department stores are filled with men. Last minute shoppers. Because they don't, they forget that it took them all year to figure out what their wife likes and what they enjoy so they could buy it. Oh, what should I get her? You had 365 days in a year, you couldn't figure that out. And that's how men are. Men are like that. But it's amazing how men have a plethora of knowledge when it comes to sports, cars, motorcycles, right? Hunting, golf. We got it down to a science. We give you specs. Gives you the velocity of the round going. They give you everything. Give you a make model of all these vehicles. But they can't figure out what their wife likes. The word understand here in the Greek is gnosis. It's gnosis. And it means knowledge. Very simple. We need to have a good knowledge of what the things our wives like and love. You know what I used to do when I was working? Again, trust me, I'm not patting my hand, but listen, I got married when I was 18. Whoa. Whoa, yeah. That was not too long ago. Yeah, I didn't have the upbringing that I wish I had now. But, you know, Judy and I, I knew her since I was 8. She's my church Tahoe sweetheart. I knew it was puppy love 11, 12, or something like that. And I knew she was the one. That was it. And I got tired of waiting. And I started early, you know. But when I would work, I would still get her the things because I used to buy her a gift for everything. Can you imagine? Before we married 36 years. And prior to that, I used to always get a gift for everything. I gave a gift for every holiday, Easter, Hanukkah, Christmas, Earth Day. I just found reasons to give her gifts because I loved her. I wanted her. I wanted to impress her. And you know what? I would do something. I would go to work, and I would go take a break, go to the Hallmark card, and write a card and mail it. And then the next couple of days, I'm at work. Oh, thank you for, you know, little things like that. But I'm done with that. Not just kidding. No. No. I still, like for now, you know, to be honest, I'm already done. I already got her gifts.
All right.
Because, I am not patting my hand. It took years, people. Years. I got a degree and certificate in this field. It took a long time, but listen, I'm not patting myself in the back. But, you know, I've learned. I'm just one of those that get things done. Why wait tomorrow when you can do today? That's the way I do that with everything. And so, listen, guys, know what your wife likes, loves. I think the more you practice that in giving her the things, you know, that's what they love. Give it to them. Because they know what you love. Again, if you get her, you know, a card that's, you know, that's pretty, fine. That's what she loves. Or she'll get you a card, like I said, a cardboard box with just, she knows what you love. Again, we're wired differently. Give a girl a stick, she makes it into a doll. Give a boy a stick, he makes it into a gun. We're wired differently. That's how we are. But no, that's a head start. She's not going to want a gun for Christmas. Well, who knows? Now we live in a different part. Anyway, let's move on. The third area husbands are to submit to their wives is giving honor to the wife. Let's read verse 7 again. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. The word honor here is the Greek word timē. It's mentioned 43 times and it means precious, valuable. Husbands, your wives are precious and valuable. You honor her because she's precious and valuable. That's who she is. And more importantly, this is how God sees her. She's a daughter of God. It said, rather let it be, verse 4, it says, rather let it be, when he's talking to the wives, let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty as a gentle and quiet spirit with a very precious, which is very precious in the sight of God. And so husbands, dwell with your wives, understand your wives, know your wives, their desires, their needs, their concern. Give honor to them because they're precious. But here's another thing important. Guys, listen, this is important. This is a good one. I love the Bible verses here. Your wife is a reflection of you. This is what Paul says. Now listen, this helps. This would motivate you to be what you're supposed to be to your wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of who? The man." Your wife is the glory of you. No wonder why my wife Judy is so beautiful. Really pray for her. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them and understand them, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel." Ladies, don't unbuckle your seatbelt yet. Now, the vessel, this image, is a biblical imagery that we find in Scripture. Vessel is like a jar, right? We're jars of clay, right? And what does it gives us a picture that we are these vessels, but the Spirit comes in us, okay? So we're all jars. And, you know, some jars are more dirty than others, but the reality is what's inside. And what Peter is not demeaning the women here, saying that they're less. And what Peter is not saying, he's not saying that they're weaker mentally. He's not saying they're weaker morally, intellectually, spiritually. What he's saying is they're weaker physically and emotionally. And that, we know that's true. Unless you want to say, "Hey, Pastor Eddie, I could lift more weights than you could." If you want, you know, nowadays you have men that are competing in women's sports, right? Who won? Go figure. The strongest man, the guy that has a deep voice and the biceps. We're wired differently. We're made differently. Women, that's why they're to be protected. Now, here's the warning. Here's the warning. But first, he's going to tell us who we are. We're both heirs of the grace of God. Both of us. Look at verse 7. At the end of verse 7, it says, "And as being heirs together of the grace of life." So together, again, there's no partiality. You know, it's not about value. We all have the same. We created God's image, but we all have the, you know, the grace of God through salvation. But here's the warning, men. Pay attention. He says that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, you may say, "Okay, God, no, let me tell you, you want God to answer your prayers." You know you want God to answer your prayers, but your prayers would be hindered. And so God is giving the men, yeah, he's giving you just the facts. He's not giving you little stories and illustrations. We got it all in verse 7, but he's coming with a warning. Women didn't get the warning. If you are not fulfilling the scriptures, if you're not fulfilling a calling in your life to serve your wife, to dwell with her, to understand her, to honor her, your prayers will be hindered. It's bouncing off the walls. Love the Lord and love your wife as Christ loves the church. I'm running the race.
Thank you for taking time today to listen to Running the Race with Pastor Eddie. Pastor Eddie's been pulling practical truths from the book of 1 Peter. This is the book to read if you're feeling discouraged about an unfair situation you've experienced. It's the book to read if you need to know you're not alone in that frustrating and hard circumstance. Pushing through these kinds of times isn't always easy, but it is worth it. If you find yourself in a place today where you need prayer, please contact us at runningtheraceradio.com and click back to the homepage. Once you've done that, you'll find a form under the Contact tab. Simply fill it out with your prayer request and click Send. This is a safe and confidential way for us to know how to pray for you. Running the Race is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Milford. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience, and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. Donations of any size are always used by God. Be sure to come back again for more on Running the Race.